We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Ma.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Ma. I am John Kurtz, joined today by Just Cole Manbeck, DY, off on a little excursion. So you get just us two today. We're going to talk a little hoops, a little football, the transfer portal hot and heavy on both sides of the sports aisle for the Cats right now. So you might want to just go ahead and pour yourself a drink, depending on when you're listening to this. I mean, hell, really just whenever. Penn Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon is the way to go. Cole was definitely on some last night as we did our Patreon show, patreon.com/3ma, if you want to be able to catch that. Completely unhinged Cole Manbeck. A little bit too much of that Penn Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon, but just because it's so damn good. So make sure you go get it from our friends at Holiday Distillery. You can also check out their 360 Vodka. Whichever you would prefer. Make sure you get stocked up for the lake this spring and summer and for the tailgates coming up at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in the fall. Well, you know it's always going to be a good show when we're talking about Dylan Edwards, and we are talking about Dylan Edwards today because the one-time K-State commit, the one-time Notre Dame commit, the one-time Colorado Buffalo has now reportedly entered the portal. I have not seen, at least as of recording here at about 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, we have not seen like official confirmation that his name is technically in the portal yet. But when you do submit your name, the school has 48 hours to process that. So we anticipate that happening soon. It was widely reported by all the major recruiting sites that he was heading toward the portal. And immediately after that, K-State quarterback Avery Johnson tweeted pictures of both of the two playing football back in their like Pop Warner days. So made it pretty clear that he was interested. He wants him back. And now we sit and wait and wonder what the odds are that K-State adds Dylan Edwards to their backfield at a time when K-State is looking for options in the backfield. DJ Giddens, tremendous, one of the best running backs in the country. But K-State has been looking for a number two. Now, there's also a Joe Jackson component to this that we didn't even really get into on the show last night. But assuming that K-State is still looking for space here, this makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, Cole.
I think it's a perfect fit. I mean, you think about Dylan Edwards, he's got 3 years of eligibility remaining after his true freshman season at Colorado. So, you know, he'd be the number two guy at Kansas State this year behind Giddens, but I think they would have him on the field a lot at the same time, split back scenarios in the shotgun, splitting, motioning him out, getting him involved in the passing game. Matt Wells, big in the screen game. They can do a lot of creative things with Dylan Edwards. Can't just be just handing the ball off to him. Heck, we saw what he's capable of doing it in the opener last year for the Buffaloes against TCU when he had 5 catches for 135 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air. And so they can do a lot of different creative things with him, and then he's got eligibility after this. There's a good shot DJ Giddens is a guy, even though he's got another year after this, that could get drafted after this season. I don't know if he'll enter the draft or not, but this would be a really perfect complement to DJ Giddens, kind of the thunder and lightning approach that you would have there. Both guys can really catch the ball, too. I mean, Giddens is a really good pass catcher as well. So a tremendous fit all around for Kansas State. And you just think about him playing with Avery Johnson and the speed dynamic and the explosiveness that the offense would have with Jace Brown on the outside, a healthy Keegan Johnson this year, Giddens, Dylan Edwards, Garrett Oakley at the tight end position. It would be one heck of an offense. We were talking last night just how that would rank in terms of the history of K-State football over the last 20 years in terms of most skill talent. And it would be right up there in the top three or four was kind of the consensus over the last 15 to 20 years. So would be a huge get, makes a ton of sense. We'll see how long this process drags out. K-State really wants a number two running back through the portal here, and Dylan Edwards just popped in. So we know K-State wants him.
Yeah, that I think we can tell you. Like, there was some level of discussion online. I mean, DY did a pretty good job of kind of downplaying it. You know, was not a significant portion of the fan base that still holds enough sour grapes from the recruitment process that they wouldn't want him around. I think most people are on board, and I guess the bottom line is, you're going to go against QB1 because QB1, Avery Johnson, who everybody loves and respects, very much wants him on the team. And we feel like the K-State coaching staff does as well. So K-State, I do think, will pursue here. Whether or not it happens, we don't know. But we should probably spend a little bit of discussion point on that. To me, some of the Dylan Edwards dynamic that a smaller portion of the fan base that would still have that would be upset about it is just not being used to recruiting with big dogs. You know, when you have Coach Prime sniffing around and you have Notre Dame sniffing around and Clemson was there and Oklahoma was there, all these different schools that were there, like, that kind of thing is going to happen. Like, if you, SEC schools have kids flip all of the time. Like, it's pretty commonplace. And for a long time, K-State with Bill Snyder 2.0 recruiting, you know, and even to a large extent, Chris Klieman at the beginning of his tenure, like, there just wasn't much of that going on. Now we've seen a little bit more of that. That's just kind of the day and age that we're in, man. It's going to happen. He was 17 to 18 year old kid trying to make a decision. He's got crazy game breaking talent. You can't, I'm sorry, you cannot, in my humble opinion at least, put your foot down and say, I don't want this dude on the team. It would unlock some things for the K-State offense to have that kind of a game breaker in the backfield. So this is something you should absolutely be campaigning for, in my humble opinion.
It's a talent you absolutely can't turn down. And I think the point you made, like, we know that the coaching staff, they want him. Avery Johnson, the quarterback, wants him. He made that clear. And I think we talked about it last night on our live show on patreon.com/streamaw. We felt like it was a strategic play by Avery Johnson. As soon as Dylan Edwards popped, the rumors popped yesterday that he was entering the portal, Avery Johnson was tweeting. He was posting the pictures on Instagram of them playing together, Pop Warner, when they were younger as kids playing together. It felt like, you know, he was making a sincere move to try and make it clear to the fan base, hey, we want him. Put all the differences aside of how the recruitment unfolded a couple of years ago. I'm with you. I mean, I tweeted it yesterday as well. Like, he was probably, I think he was late 17 years old, probably close to 18 when he's making that decision, one of the biggest decisions of his life. Yeah, I mean, I didn't love the way that it played out, obviously, and the multiple commitments, but put yourself in his shoes when you're making a decision like that. And I think a lot of kids would probably have struggles. Have your kids making that decision and some of the difficulties when you've got all these power offers coming in from all over the country from schools that, you know, really covet you and have had a ton of success. So I don't put a ton of blame on him for how that played out. And let's put our differences aside. It's clear the coaching staff wants him. If you trust the coaching staff, which I do, I have a lot of trust in Chris Klieman. I trust their judgment and the staff. And Avery Johnson wants him. They think he's a fit in the locker room. Then by all means, I think every fan, but, you know, the fans should be supportive of K-State going after him. And man, would it be a weapon to this offense, making them really, really hard to defend.
I mean, thinking about 2 years ago, Big 12 championship team, like, you had so much explosiveness on the offense between Malik Knowles and Deuce Vaughn. That was an element that wasn't there as much last year, lacking a little bit of some of that explosiveness. If you have a developing Jace Brown, and then you can throw in Dylan Edwards along with Avery Johnson playing predominantly at quarterback, all of a sudden the explosiveness of this offense just goes through the roof. So I don't know how you could look at it and say that that's not something that we want. I mean, that will give Connor Riley and Matt Wells so many different toys to play with on the offense if it happens.
Yeah, just a ton of home run capability within the offense of what you can do, and so many different parts to have to respect as a defense and keep them honest. So you can get a lot of creative mismatches, especially when you have Giddens in the backfield with Dylan Edwards, because, you know, one of them's going to get a linebacker matched up on him if you motion one of them out into the receiving game. So I love the fit. You can't deny it. Look, I mean, he won the Under Armour 50 Events Fastest Man Challenge as a recruit in 2022, ran 4.38 laser time 40, hit 22.9 miles per hour on the Catapult GPS system. He was the Kansas Gatorade Player of the Year. He's a dynamic talent. Would be one of the fastest players in the country. And if you could get him at K-State with Avery Johnson, too, as a quarterback, man, would that be a lot of fun. And, you know, a lot of people will probably look at his numbers at Colorado this last year. They saw the opener and how much he blew people away against a TCU team that ended up not being all that good. I mentioned he had the 5 grabs for 135 yards and 3 touchdowns in that opener against the Horned Frogs. Now, the rest of the season, he had 31 catches for 164 yards. So he averaged 27 yards a catch against TCU and then 5.3 yards a catch in the final 11 games. And then he rushed for 321 yards on 76 carries last year, 4.2 yards a carry. 250 of those yards were in the first 7 games. Last 5, he had 71 yards on 22 carries. But it's important to point out that Colorado's offensive line was the worst in the country last year, the worst in college football. Colorado was dead last in the FBS in yards per carry at 2.3 yards per rush, 133rd out of 133 FBS teams. They were 124th out of 133 teams in sack percentage allowed. And Deion Sanders demoted the former Kent State head coach Sean Lewis, who is extremely highly regarded, with several games left on the season, demoted him in early November, put in a new offensive coordinator in place. They were just a mess offensively. So don't put a ton of stock in the numbers Dylan Edwards had at Colorado. He's a dynamic piece.
I forgot about that. I was going to say, and then Sean Lewis left right after the season. I forgot that they actually demoted him, stripped him of his play-calling abilities there in the middle of the season. So, yeah, I mean, look, people have taken their shots at Colorado. I'm not really a Deion hater. In fact, I kind of liked the guy and wanted him to succeed, but it's clear that there were a lot of things, extenuating circumstances there, that would have made this a little bit more difficult. So there's really one more angle to talk about on this to me, and we'll do it here in just a moment, but that's basically – how gettable is Dylan Edwards at this point? How much of a fight is it going to be? But hey, it's no fight to get your great gear at homefieldapparel.com. If you use promo code 3MA23, that'll get you 15% off your first order. Make it nice and easy to get the best looking K-State gear around. They have tons of K-State options, 50 plus designs up there, whatever it is that you want. On a Copper Bowl shirt to represent K-State's first bowl win under Bill Snyder back in 1993, they've got you covered. If you want a Big 8 championship shirt from the 70s, they've got you covered. If you want an old-school K-State shooting shirt, they've got you covered. It all looks awesome. Make sure and go see our friends at homefieldapparel.com. They have 100-plus other schools as well if you want to branch out a little bit. Either way, use promo code 3MA23 and get 15% off your first order. We're back in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
As far as attaining Dylan Edwards goes, we do know that K-State's NIL coffers are much more well-stocked this year than they were last year. Like, I wouldn't think that that would be something too prohibitive from a K-State standpoint here to go get him, but there's going to be questions about, like, hey, who's after? I mean, Notre Dame obviously was in there. I rattled off Clemson, Oklahoma. Like, there were a lot of big boys after him the first time around. The first list that came out from some On3 folks was K-State, KU, Louisville, and Nebraska. Steve Wiltfong from On3 doubled down on the Nebraska point, and I think it's kind of been reiterated to us, like, Nebraska will make a really strong push here, and that's a school that has a lot of money and is pretty desperate to put together an actual winning season. And their fans certainly would not take kindly to a recruiting loss to K-State, as we have seen over the years. So that is one to watch. I mean, I will admit that is one that, with the financial backing that they could throw behind it, being a Big Ten school with a ton of money that's just absolutely desperate to stop being, I mean, debatably one of the, like, bottom 10 Power 5 football programs in the country, I do think that they could put up a pretty good fight there. So we'll see. We'll see. But that's kind of my feeling on it right now. I feel pretty good about where K-State sits, but I do not think it is going to be easy.
Yeah, I think the lure of Avery Johnson and just the relationships that K-State had already built with him will really help with this. But, yeah, I mean, Nebraska is looking to get to their first bowl in, what, 9 years? You know, maybe if they get Dylan Edwards, that would help them do so. You mentioned Louisville, John. I guess Louisville has a starting running back position to sell because Penny Boone, who they brought in from Toledo, rushed for 1,400 yards, entered the portal again after he transferred there this offseason. So when you look at them, they lost their starting running back who rushed for over 1,100 yards there, Jawar Jordan, and then their second string running back's gone. They brought in Penny Boone to be the starter. He's transferring despite just arriving at Louisville 4 months ago. So Louisville is probably, that's how they're getting tied into this. They can sell the starting job. KU, I don't think is probably a serious threat. They have a good running back room, pretty deep right now with Devin Neal. And then I think Hyshaw is back. Nick can correct us if I'm wrong producing our show. But yeah, I think it'll probably come down, in my mind, to K-State and Nebraska. And I like where K-State does sit.
That's at least early returns on that. Now, as Derek cautioned us in the show last night, again, patreon.com/3maw, if you want. We did like an hour and 15 minutes last night talking about all this stuff that we're talking about right now, just with a lot more, and took your questions. So patreon.com/3maw to get signed up for that. But Derek cautioned us, like, hey, this could be a wild ride because look at what the recruitment was the first time. Like, you until it's totally done, you know, you may want to buckle up a little bit here. And that's probably fair warning, and probably fair warning for most guys that have the level of attention that Dylan Edwards will. So
yeah,
that's is there anything else that we need to add on the Dylan Edwards situation right now?
The only thing I would mention, John, is we know K-State wants a number two running back, and it was reported yesterday by DY and others that Davon Booth, the Utah State running back who is in the portal, is going to be visiting K-State on Thursday. And this is a guy that's a perfect fit if you don't get Dylan Edwards. So how long can you play this thing out? Can you afford to, you know, put Davon Booth on a wait list, per se, and try to push him down on his decision at all? Or do you take Davon Booth? If he decides he wants to commit on Friday, do you take him? And the reason I say that is Davon Booth rushed for over 800 yards last year in his first year of FBS football, and he averaged 6.7 yards per carry, 120 carries, 805 yards, 6.7 yards per rush. Utah State, 5'10", 205-pound running back. He had four games last year where he averaged over 10 yards a carry. He rushed for 103 yards on 21 attempts against the James Madison defense that was number three in the country, allowing 2.7 yards per carry last season. Had 141 yards on 14 carries against Colorado State, 125 yards on 12 rushing attempts against Boise State. Coming out of high school, this was a kid that rushed for 3,600 yards and 48 touchdowns in his senior season. His junior year, almost 2,500 yards on 161 carries. I'm not sure they played defense out there in the league he played in California. He was at El Monte High School. He went to Cerritos Community College in California, where he spent 2 years. In his sophomore year before going to Utah State, he ran for 1,400-plus yards on 223 attempts, 6.5 yards per carry. So a really talented piece that, you know, then you have to debate if he wants in on Friday, Saturday, decides he wants to come to K-State, can you afford to hold on Dylan Edwards unless you know he's coming?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. Because I'll just put my faith in Chris Klieman and company and knowing how to best manage that situation. We'll see. Maybe you can put a little pressure one way or the other on those guys to get it all figured out. But you got some good options at this point is one of the bottom lines here. So we'll see how that goes. Now, if only they could find some options like that at linebacker, that would be nice. But at least they're taking care of the backfield, it would appear. Big week in the transfer portal for Hoops as well. Cliff, his last name just trips me up every time. Cliff Amore. Is visiting this week, middle of the week, as is Caleb Battle. We now know Caleb Battle. I'm mispronouncing that first name, but Caleb Battle, one of the best scorers, like just pure scorers in the country and in the portal, coming from Arkansas. They're both going to be here on campus at the same time. I mean, huge news to get those two guys there. Now, it seems like Battle would be much more of a threat, and I mean threat in a good way, to commit soon, as opposed to Amore, who seemingly wants to have this process drag on a little bit more, wait longer to commit, take a couple more visits, potentially Alabama this weekend, and then North Carolina and UCLA, also places that have been mentioned there for him. He's already taken a visit to Georgetown. But either way, he's been one of K-State's, if not the biggest target, one of the biggest targets for them in the portal. Great big man, tremendous rim protection, pretty highly sought after. And then Battle, just an incredible scorer that can either come off the bench or start for you. So, I mean, these are both really enticing, like high-level options for K-State. And very good news if you're getting both on campus.
Yeah, both are visiting here. I think they're set to arrive here on Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday. I think they're going to arrive today. And there's some other guys that potentially be visiting as well in the coming days. Jerome Tang said in an interview with KMAN that he hopes to have this thing wrapped up in the next 7 or so days and have most of his roster in place. And you guys had him on the pod last week that I was absent from, and he did sound like he wanted to move pretty quickly. One of the things he said was he wanted to have this roster in place before June 1st. He felt that was important. And so they are moving in that direction, moving fast on a lot of top targets. Obviously, we talked about Brendan Housen, the talented 6'4" guard who can really shoot it. We think K-State sits in a really good position there, and maybe there's some closure on that in the near future at the shooting guard position. RJ Jones, it got reported by Tobias Bass today that he is entering the transfer portal. We heard about that, rumblings that was likely going to happen. Look, somebody was going to have to leave to make room for all the guys that they are going to end up after and chasing and likely landing here. Let's start with Clifford Amore. You mentioned it, John. We talked about him a little bit before. It's a guy that started 98 games in the last 3 years at Rutgers. He's played in 100-plus games in his college basketball career, 121 games, was a top 50 recruit out of high school. He's originally from Nigeria, 6'11", 240 pounds, 7'6" wingspan. The best shot blocker in the country, 2.9 blocks per game last year, a 12.7% block rate. That led all of college basketball. He's your anchor to your defense. He anchored a Rutgers defense that each of the last two seasons ranked 5th and 6th in the country in KenPom defense, because largely they had a guy like Amore that was protecting the rim. Elite rebounder as well. Look, this last year he averaged around 10 points, 8 rebounds a game, but the year prior it was 13 points and nearly 10 boards per game. He's a guy with more floor spacing, can be a really effective offensive player in my mind. You have to keep in mind that as good as Rutgers' defense was, their offense was terrible. They were 298th in KenPom last season. They were 151st the year prior. They were 350th in the country in shooting the three this last year at 28.7% out of 362 teams. There was no floor spacing. 285th the year prior, 32% from three. So Amore didn't shoot it quite as well. He's around 50, 51%. He didn't have as much space to operate around the rim. In his first 2 years at Rutgers, Amore shot 63% from the floor. The last 2 years, he was 51%. Well, no coincidence, his sophomore season, Rutgers shot 34% from three, which was an upgrade, 166 in the country. You get Amore where there's more spacing, he can be a real talented rim runner because he's a guy that made approximately 70% of his field goal attempts as a roller off screens this past season per Synergy.
I mean, he's been the guy that I've been basically the most excited about ever since portal season really started. Outside of, I guess, Doug, you know, they landed Doug McDaniel so early. He was also huge, but then it was like, all right, go get your big, go get your elite big, your elite rim protection, and that is Big Cliff. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, if they're able to get him to commit, if there's any shot of that. He's had a plodding, slow, methodical recruitment where he seems to want to be very careful and particular about this, which we can certainly appreciate. But I don't know what how that syncs up with Jerome Tang's timeline of, wanting to get it wrapped up, basically within the next like 5 to 6 days. Caleb Battle can just fill it up and score, man. I mean, he had a 40-point game late in the season for Arkansas. He really tore it up late in the year for them. I know Arkansas was a bit of a mess. And Battle is a guy that, he had an issue at the end of his Temple season the year before when he transferred from Temple and was a really high-profile gift for Arkansas in the portal. Kind of shades of Marquise Noel, what happened with him at Little Rock before K-State got Marquise Noel, and obviously we know how that turned out. So there is a little bit of that in the past of Battle, but nothing that scares me off, especially the way that dude can go get buckets. And K-State can very much use that. I mean, how often last year did we say, like, it just, felt like a lot of times with what they had on offense, there was not somebody who could just go get a hoop when you really needed a hoop. Somebody who definitely could do that.
Yeah, another guy that can create, and another big guard. He's 6'5", 185 pounds. CJ Jones, 6'5". We talk about Brendan Howson, 6'4", who they feel good about. They're getting longer at guard, and Battle, man, he can fill it up. He's played in 77 games the last four seasons. He scored 20 points or more in 34 of them. That's 44%. In the last seven games of the regular season this last year, his last seven games at Arkansas, Caleb Battle averaged 29.5 points per game and shot over 50% from the floor overall. And he also got to the free throw line at an insane rate. In those games, he went 87 of 93 from the free throw line, 93.5%. In those last seven games, he averaged over 13.3 attempts from the foul line per game. He's a guy that had a free throw rate of over 72 this last year. If you take guys in the country that had a usage rate of 20 or more and played in 20 or more games this year, Caleb Battle had the 16th highest free throw rate in the entire country and was actually had the highest free throw rate of any guard in all of Power Six leagues in college basketball this last season. So he can really shoot it from the free throw line. He's 86% the last couple of years. He can get to the line a ton. And the other thing you love about him is that over the last 3 years from three, he's 146 of 399 from beyond the arc. That's 36.6% from beyond the arc on a lot of attempts from three. In his career, he's a 35.3% three-point shooter on over 500 attempts. So he can fill it up from the outside. He can get to the rim. He can create. He can get to the foul line. Just would be a tremendous fit. Averaged almost 15 points a game on a bad Arkansas team this last year.
And he's just fun. He's really fun. Go watch. Do yourself a favor and go watch some Caleb Battle highlights. Like he's fun as hell. Had some good quotes too that you could pull from him. So I mean, I'm highly into that one. I'm highly optimistic about that one. As Cole mentioned, we're highly optimistic about Brendan Howson, the tremendous shooter from Villanova that came in and visited over the weekend. You know, Nick Pringle from Alabama is another name that's been out there. Obviously, we're still waiting on what's going to happen with Baba Miller, who seemed to be contemplating the NBA, possibly mulling other colleges, but has visited K-State and is somebody that they really highly covet. Heard us talk about him on here as a guy that could be a bit of a Naquan Tomlin clone, like kind of a raw and similar skill set, similar body type. Give me your thoughts on where K-State is sitting for particularly like Miller and Pringle right now.
Yeah, I think they sit in really good positions for both. I think they sit in a favorable spot for Baba Miller. We know Jerome Tang and the staff really covets him. 6'11" guy that can play the three, can play the four, very versatile. Also testing the NBA draft waters currently. I think K-State sits in a great spot right now to win that battle potentially. And then on the other front with, Nick Pringle, Alabama transfer, the five. He was a center for Alabama this last year, 6'10", 230 or so pounds. I think K-State sits in a good spot for him as well. If they can get Clifford Amore and he maybe goes on a longer timeline that we potentially expect through his recruitment, then I could see Nick Pringle be the guy that K-State targets, the guy I really like, the staff likes him. And if you look at some of the advanced analytics and numbers, short roll situations, the fit that he would be in this offense on pick and roll, et cetera, and as a rim runner, I think he's a guy that the light bulb is coming on here as his career continues on. He's a guy that didn't start playing basketball until he was in eighth grade. He was 6'2" as a sophomore in high school. He shot up to 6'10". And over the last 14 games last year, he averaged 9.5 points, 6.4 rebounds per game. In the first 20 games, he was at 5 points a game and 4.3 rebounds. He really took off down the stretch of the season. Last nine games, he averaged over 11 points a game and had 16 points, 11 rebounds against Clemson in the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four for Alabama this year. So, and he did it all in only 18 minutes a game. I think he's going to take off. And so I think they sit in a good spot for him. If Clifford Amore doesn't work out, I like Nick Pringle as a fit for the five spot in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be perfectly happy with either one of those guys at the five. I think they're both options that everybody should feel great about. At the five. I mean, Alabama fans will tell you that Nick Pringle was a huge part of their success in the tournament run and had a really nice close to the season. So, yeah, I mean, look, K-State's swimming in really, really good waters right now with a lot of high-level prospects on the basketball front. And I think over the next week, we expect to get some pretty good news on that front if things continue to trend the way that they are trending right now. So, anything else basketball-wise that we're missing?
I don't remember if we mentioned that Caleb Battle was on a visit to TCU on Tuesday, but it was just a one-day visit. Not too worried about TCU. I think we feel really good about where K-State sits. Plus, K-State's already beat TCU on the recruiting trail, and Jamie Dixon for Doug McDaniel. Very similar situation where Doug visited right before K-State, and then K-State landed him. So I feel optimistic about Caleb Battle being a Wildcat as well.
Yeah, I mean, unsurprisingly, it sounded like the other two schools that were still kind of in on him were Arkansas, you know, with John Calipari trying to keep him around, and then USC, which obviously stands to reason because Musselman left. I guess we should mention, too, thank you, Nick, for bringing this up. Arthur Kaluma did declare for the draft officially yesterday, but it is with the opportunity to still come back, so that's not for sure. But if he is going to stretch it out to the very end, which I believe was it, did Jerome Tang say that on K-Man, Cole, is that what it was, that he thought Kaluma may stretch it out to the very end? Then we're talking mid-June, which would be the deadline for Arthur Kaluma to remove his name from the draft. So I don't know how exactly that one is going to play out. I mean, when Tang was on with us, obviously if you listen to that on the 3-Mob podcast, he said if he's going to come back, like he'll have a spot with all these bodies that they have in and out on visits and wanting to get it wrapped up. And I don't know. I don't know exactly how that will play out. I'm not sure that they would know exactly how it would play out with Arthur Kaluma right now. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone, even though he did officially announce he's going through the draft process yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people probably didn't read the post, and well, they did read the post and probably misinterpreted it because it was easy to read that way, that it sounded like he was definitely gone. But our understanding is, you know, he's still got the opportunity to return. He's maintaining his eligibility while he goes through the draft process. And I would still have like a slight lean to thinking he may be back, but you never know. It's a weak draft. Maybe Arthur Kaluma, you know, he's been on NBA radars for a long time now. Maybe he tries to give it a go and just wants to move on. We'll have to see. You know, I don't think the staff knows for certain at this point. There's 30, 45 days to play out where he's going to go through workouts, and we'll see where things stand. But at the very least, I think K-State will have probably 11 to 12 guys filled on their scholarships and their roster in place over the next couple of weeks, which that's a pretty darn good place to be in, and we know that's important. Jerome Tang told us on 3-Mall that he wants to have most of the roster in place by June 1st, and they certainly seem to be tracking that way. So We'll see what happens with Kaluma. I'm about to put together a new big board on patreon.com/3ma as well, John. So we'll get that posted here later today, hopefully. So a big write-up breaking down every top target that K-State is after in the portal. Very detailed write-ups that break it down, these guys, and where things stand, trending up, etc. So I will have that out as well here in the next 12 hours or so. So go check it out.
Yeah, and if you want the updates as they happen, you sign up at patreon.com/3ma. You can get in our Discord, basically one big group text, where you can communicate back and forth with us and get the latest on what all is happening here. So would love to have you there. We appreciate our sponsors, great sponsors at Holiday Distillery and Homefield Apparel for helping us bring you this pod. And thanks to Nick Springer doing work behind the scenes to get this out to you, as always, as well. For Cole Manbeck, I'm John Kurtz. Thanks for listening to another 3ma. Take care, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.